Right, David, what's your full name?
Yes, David Albert Newham.
And what's your current occupation?
Retired.
And what?
I'm a retired design engineer.
And can I, do you mind me asking you your date of birth?
13th of April, 1938.
And where were you born and where did you live as a child?
I was born in Nottingham and I lived in Snenton, the area of Snenton in Nottingham, as a child, right until I got married.
All right, okay. And what were your parents doing when you were young?
Yes, my parent, my father, obviously during the war, he was in the army, but after the war he carried on what he'd been all his life, which was a carpenter. He was, he didn't work for a particular firm, you know, like a big firm. He used to move around in the building industry. In those days, used a lot of casual labour, as it were, and so he used to move around from job to job. Mm. That, and obviously the firms that he worked for paid for his stamp and everything. It was all legal, and that it was just the way the building construction places worked. He used a lot of like casual labour, and he got more money that way than this, if he'd have worked to one firm all his life, sort of thing. So he worked till he retired as a carpenter, did an apprenticeship and everything. And my mother was a housewife, basically. Mm-hmm. And then when I got older, when I started grammar school, 13, 14, she got a part-time job because I think she was bored because I wasn't at home. Because before then, I used to come home for me school for me lunch.
Oh, you right. See. Yeah.
So I was too far away when I went to grammar school. So so she got a little part-time job, just working mornings, and it was folding net curtains. Oh. Don't ask me why, but two women had like you'd fold blankets or sheets. Two women used to stand and they used to fold these neck curtains. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
Right. Okay, and what was your first school?
First school was Snenton Boulevard, which is just up the, just any 100 yards. I lived on Westwood Road, and then Snenton Boulevard went at right angles, and Snenton Boulevard, it was just 5 minutes walk away, very convenient. And I went to Snenton Boulevard Infant School, used to call it Infant School in those days, which was a mixed school, boys and girls. And then when I was nine, I moved to Snenton Boulevard Boys School, which was just next door to the Infant School, and big old Victorian building. And the girls, it was boys only school, and the girls had to move to another girls school only, and which was again not too far away on Snenton Dale.
And do you remember whether you were taught any history at either of those schools?
No, I can't remember any history at all. No, it didn't obviously, it didn't make an impression, did it, if I was taught history? No, certainly in the infant school, I wasn't taught history at all. Definitely, as far as I'm aware, I wasn't. But then when I did move to the boys' school, yes, I was taught history, yes.
All right.
Can
you remember a little bit about that?
Yes, yes, I enjoyed it, yes. Yes, The teachers were quite enthusiastic because the war was just over.
Oh, yes.
And so they came back, and I suppose they were glad to be alive and that, and they were quite enthusiastic. They were a little bit strict. You know, we used to say the thing, they're still in the army when they're talking to us, you know. But, yes, they were very enthusiastic. And I remember I enjoyed it because I've always enjoyed history, and we did the Anglo-Saxons and the Romans and the Vikings and things like that. And I always remember, presumably the teachers were collaborating in the art class. We we got to make a Viking longboat, model of a Viking longboat in paper, of course. And we, in the centre of the boat, we stuck a matchbox which took the stick for the sail. You see, we stuck the stick in, and then had the long, the square rectangular sail there. Mm-hmm. And I've always been a bit artistic, and anyway, when we'd finished these things, you could take them home, except that I couldn't take mine home because the teacher said he wanted to keep it because it was so good. He wanted to keep it as a model for future.
Which
was quite nice, but I've got nothing to show my mother and father. And do you know, 10 years later, the first time I could vote was 21. 10 years later, when I went to vote for the first time, and years after, we had the electoral boxes in that same room, and there was my boat still there after all those years.
Most impressive.
I couldn't believe it. I said to my mother, "There's my boat."
That's great.
Yeah. So.
And they were teaching Vikings actually in history at the same time as you were doing the model in art, were they?
Yes.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah. Yes. So it was kind of helping us with it. Yes. And I remember I noticed you say about the books. The books had pictures of the Vikings and the Anglo-Saxons and the Roman soldiers and that. And it was very interesting, yes.
And that was when you were what about?
Well, I moved to the boys' school. It was started off at like the lower school, then obviously moved up to the upper school. So I started when I was 9.
Right. Okay.
That was when I started doing
and
history.
And so, how did they actually teach you history at that school? Was it?
Well, it was like all my school life talk and chalk. You know, we used to stand there at the front of the class and write on the blackboard, and it was a blackboard then, not a green board or anything.
Yes.
And they used to talk, and you'd have your book in front of you and looking at the page and that, and then they'd talk about it and write on the blackboard. Yeah.
And was there any radio or anything like that you can
the hear? radio, very exciting. It was one day we came and workmen were putting up these loudspeakers in the rooms, all the classrooms, and we said, "Oh, this is marvellous. What's this for?" You see, and the radio, BBC, was doing these school programmes, putting out school programmes on the radio, and these speakers were to be for the school programmes. Do you know, I never ever saw them used. I never experienced them being used, and nobody I spoke to ever had them. I'm not saying that there weren't, but I never spoke to anybody who had them. I mean, it was such a waste. I got these speakers, and I never used them. So what happened there, I don't know.
What about trips out? Did you ever do any trips to museums places?
No, good heavens, no. don't do things like that, no. We went to school, we were taught, we went home, that was it, finished.
Right.
Didn't have any homework, of course. There was only one trip, which I remember distinctly to this day. We had this teacher, and he said that there was going to be a film show in town, and it was at the Victoria Hotel in the centre of Nottingham. And he said, "I've managed to get places for 15 pupils to go to this film show." And he said, "In the evening, in your own time." And he says, "Anybody interested, just let me know." So I was one of those that went, and went in the best clothes. We were told to, look dressed properly. And so we went, and we had this film show, and basically, as far as I can remember, it wasn't a film like Hollywood or anything like that. It was almost like an advertising film for Cadbury's. It was all to do with Cadbury's and chocolate and that, I can't remember a great deal about it. I mean, we didn't get any free samples or anything like that. But it was nice. We went out, but that was the only time, you see. Because you see a lot of lot of boys in my class in those days, just after the war, in winter they would wear Wellington boots, and in summer they'd wear plimsolls, and that was it. That was their footwear. And if they got a bit too big for the boots and that, they had the toe ends cut off till the parents could afford to buy them new ones. Yeah. I mean, that wasn't common. I mean, it was fairly rare, but it wasn't unusual.
Mm.
Nobody commented, you know, nobody said anything. You just accepted it. Yeah. Mm. So I was lucky because I was an only child, and my father was in steady work and getting good money, so I was okay. I was lucky in that respect. Yes.
Right. And did you have any textbooks at that school, at the boys' school?
Sorry?
Do you have any textbooks?
Textbooks. Yes. As I say, we had these books with pictures in.
Right.
Of the Anglo-Saxons and that. Yes. Yes. As far as I can remember, we never took them home.
Right.
We didn't take anything home. We didn't have homework. We didn't take any books home. We used to look at them, then put them back at the end of the lesson. And that would be it, you know, then be dished out again when we started the next lesson.
And did you enjoy history there?
Oh, yes, yes. I've always loved history. Always have. Mm. Yes. Yes, I've pulled out a couple of books to show you afterwards, if you're interested.
Mm,
but they're children's encyclopedias that my father got and they printed.
Oh, right.
He got them before he got married, and my parents were married in 1935.
Oh, right.
Of course, when I was looking up in 1945, you see, the pictures in them are locations. And there is a certain amount of history in them as well. So I think that's where I think that's where I got my love of history from. Yes.
Now, I think you did change schools.
Yes, yes. Well, what happened, every child took the 11 plus. We all went in for this 11 plus, took the exam. And if you passed, you went to a grammar school, which they told you, you didn't have a choice. They said, you're going to that school. And if you failed, you stayed where you were. You did have a choice if you failed. You could go to a technical school, where you could learn plumbing or bricklaying or something like that. So it was like a trade school, if you fancied that thing, if you were that way inclined. Anyway, when it came for me to take the 11 plus, my mother was ill about the month before I had to take it, and I had to stay off school to look after her, because if my father didn't work, he didn't get paid.
Mm.
So I had to stay off school, and it was accepted in those days, you know, didn't have the school board man around or anything. Presumably my father wrote a letter to the school. So to take the exams, which was more than one exam, I think it was two or three, I had to go into school, take the exam, then go back home again. So I don't think that helped me very much in passing the exam. I was very disappointed, because I was in the top three of my class every year. I was in the top three, and I was quite surprised that I didn't pass, really, but just one of those things, you know, you just accept it. So I then had the choice of either staying on at the school or going to the technical school, learning plumbing or something like that. And I didn't fancy that very much. My father was against it as well. He said to me, try and get an office job if you can. He says, it's clear, you know. He says, you better thought of. And office people, because I'm talking now about in the 1950s, 40s, 50s, he says, office staff in a factory are usually the last to be laid off.
Mm-hmm.
It's normally the workers. And so I decided to stay on at that school and not go to the technical school. And then when I got to 13, in those days, the school could nominate a number of, I don't know whether they had a parameters of how many pupils they could nominate, but they could nominate their top pupils to go in for this 13 plus, which was a later version of the 11 plus. And at my school, I was put forward together with five others. So there was about six of us went, and we went to this school in the outskirts of Nottingham, St Townsall Road area. And there was girls, boys and girls from other schools there, and we sat all day taking these exams, exam papers. I should imagine we took about four, one first thing, then we had a break, then another paper. So I think there must have been about four. And then I made my way home. And of course I had to pay my own bus fare and everything. Nothing was paid for you. And then eventually I heard that I'd passed. And so I went to this grammar school. Of the six of us who went, three passed. And one of those, his parents wouldn't let him go to grammar school because it meant him staying on at school an extra year. He couldn't leave school until he was 17, and they said they couldn't afford it. So although he'd passed, he didn't go. So there was two of us went to grammar school at 13. So.
And your parents were happy for you to go?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, fortunately, as I say, my father had got a good job, and I was the only one, so they could afford to pay for the uniform, because, I mean, it was been quite expensive. Mm. I was kitted out from top to toe. I had to have new plimsolls. I always remember my father, only about a few months before, had bought me some new plimsolls, and they were black, because that was the colour of the school. This was for a gym. And when we got to my new school, the gym shoes were white. My father said, "Oh, wear your black ones and see what happens." Anyway, of course, there's a few of them. I wasn't the only one. A few of us got these black gym shoes and were told in no uncertain terms, "Come back next week with white ones." And that was it. Yes.
So, did you find that they taught history differently at the
yes.
school?
Yes. Yes, I was very disappointed, very disappointed. First of all, we jumped from the Anglo-Saxons and Romans and so forth. We jumped to the 18th to 19th century. And I couldn't understand why this sudden jump, because, you know, I was no older, you know, you'd have thought the whole school curriculum would have been on the same lines, but no, missed out all the interesting stuff, Elizabeth I, Henry VIII, Reformation, all that sort of thing. Oh, missed it all. And we always remember we spent ages talking about the Corn Laws. I mean, it wasn't even interesting history, you know, talking about the Corn Laws. I can't remember much more about it. I've spoken to a friend of mine who I was at the junior, went right through the schooling with him, including Mandela. And I've asked him, because his memory was quite good, and he couldn't remember things. He says, I can't remember what we had, so... So I can't expand on it too much, but all I know was that it was very boring.
Right.
Very boring. I tried to make the best of it. But, you know, you can only get so much satisfaction out of the Corn Laws, can't you? I mean, oh dear.
How did the teacher teach?
Talk and chalk again, yes, usual.
But do you think it was because the teacher wasn't as good that it was partly so?
The teacher was good. He was. I liked him. I mean, he'd helped by the fact that at my school, you could take either hockey or football. And I wasn't very good at football, but I was quite good at hockey. And he was our hockey teacher as well. So we had a bit of a rapport there. And he was a nice chap. I liked him. And... yes, so it wasn't the fault of the teacher, it was the fault of the subjects, I think. And quite honestly, thinking back, I think that the whole ethos, I don't know whether it was just my school or whether it was the countrywide, my thought was the whole ethos of grammar schools is that they were a cut above riffraff, as it were, and you had to be taught these fancy subjects, you know, the corn laws and things like that, not Anglo-Saxons, and you know, not really
more
suitable
things, yeah.
not suitable for would be. I don't know, what perhaps I'm thinking of solicitors or barristers or something, I don't know.
Right, right.
But yes, we were more of an elite, so we had to tackle elite subjects.
Right. Okay.
See, I'll give you an example of how the thought, you see, as well. In English literature, we had books to read. One of the books we had to read was Mr. Polly by H.G. Wells. And I found it quite boring, actually, and I wasn't the only one. Years later, I found out that around about that time, there was a film with John Mills of Mr. Polly. Now, it would have been ideal if we could have, perhaps the schools had got together, we'd have all gone to see this film of the book. But no, nothing like that, you see. It just didn't do things like that in those days.
Yeah.
Didn't do things like that.
So you didn't have any trips or anything at that school either?
No. The only trips I had was to orchestral concerts at the Albert Hall in Nottingham. And I think I went to about three of these orchestral concerts, which was very pleasant, very nice. And it was in school time as well, and so I think I went three times to these orchestral concerts, but we never went on outings or anything like that. Mm. It was unheard of.
And this one didn't have radio either.
No, it didn't have radios in the rooms. No.
Not even speakers that weren't.
No.
Okay.
No.
Now, did you stay on after 15 at that school?
I had to stay until I was 17.
Oh, right.
With being a grammar school, the pupils normally left at 16. Mm-hmm. They stayed on another year, an extra year. But I had to stay on the year after that, because with starting late at 13. You see, when I started at the grammar school at 13, the same level as us were children, boys and girls, who were only 12.
Oh, okay, because they felt you were a year behind them.
Yeah, so my friend who passed his 11 plus, he was a year ahead of me, although he was the same age as me, he was a year ahead and left a year earlier than me. He left at 16 and I left at 17.
Oh,
so that was another factor, you see, that they had to bear in mind, you know, people who were a bit short of money, that you were going to be a year late before you were earning money.
Yeah.
And in fact, I remember one boy, he was very sad, I remember his name, Ronald his name was, his parents, his father retired, and they took him out of school, and he got a year to go to finish, so he didn't take his O-levels or anything, because his parents said they couldn't afford to keep him at school now that his father had retired.
Mm.
So I ignore it.
And so did you do O-level history?
Yeah, so what happened there?
And did you have a choice, obviously?
Well, I suppose you did. Children weren't given choices in those days. You weren't asked your opinion or anything, you know. You didn't have a choice. But what happened, the system there was, we took the mock GCSE, was it GCSE, anyway, O-levels. We took mock O-levels and we took the exams for all the subjects that we'd been studying. And those, if you passed the mock, you then were able to take the proper thing, the proper article. And I passed six subjects in the mock, one of which was history, but I failed it in the proper exam.
Right. Okay.
And I think the only reason I failed it was because the subject was so boring.
And had the you know, leading up to taking the mock and the O-level, had the teaching been different at all, or was it just this, I mean, did they concentrate on a particular period? And
no, it just carried on as normal.
Right, so no, you didn't feel as though you were doing a set course or anything?
No, no, I just felt it was just kind of natural progression. You went, you did your normal lessons, and it, you know, like Christmas, it came along, the mock suddenly loomed up. Yes, we took the mocks, and then we got the results, and then you were taking your own level. So when you were taking your O levels, when everybody knew what they were taking in O levels, the subjects that you failed on, you could not go into class for those. You could study. I seem to recall that there wasn't a huge gap between you taking your mock and taking your actual O levels. I would imagine, perhaps, I'm guessing now, but about 2 or 3 months, you see. So, and it was near the end of your year before you left school for good. So they weren't too bothered about you not turning up for school for a lesson that you weren't going to take the O level with anyway.
Of course, yes, yeah. So, so you didn't... You didn't stay on to do A levels then?
No. You see, in those days, if you stayed on at school to go to the sixth form to take O levels, you did it solely for the purpose of going to university.
At least
at my school. I don't know. I can't talk about other schools.
No.
But your sole reason for staying on was to go to university, and that was a be all and end all of it. So if you weren't going to go to university, there was no point in staying on.
Yeah.
So what you would do is, I know that some people, some boys and girls in my era, went on to become teachers, but when they left school, they went straight on to teacher training college. But the majority of us left school and got a job.
Right. So what did you do then?
I got a job at a telephone manufacturing firm called Ericsson Telephones as an apprentice draftsman.
Okay.
And it was an indentured apprenticeship, so I was apprenticed for 4 years.
Right.
So I had all the paperwork and so forth, and I was absolved from... they couldn't call me up for national service until I was 21, until I finished my apprenticeship.
Okay. Yeah. So you've sort of answered this, but do you think history was taught well while you were at school?
I think I was taught, yes, to the best of their ability, yes. It was just the, particularly at grammar school, the subject matter that they had to contend with, yes. And it was such a shame, because I felt, even then, why are we bothering with the Corn Laws when there's, you know, even more interested in things like, you know, perhaps the First World War. But then again, you know, to be fair, perhaps the powers that be felt that, you know, we could talk to our grandparents or something, and people were still alive who lived through the First World War, so including probably your parents. So, well, okay, but I mean, it wouldn't have hurt them to have done all the rest of it, would they?
No.
Would it? No, I felt deprived.
Right, okay. And what do you remember most from history lessons? Obviously, you've mentioned the Viking model.
Yes, yes.
You think that was what sticks out?
Yes, that sticks out most in my mind. I can't remember a great deal. I'm sorry I can't be more helpful
That's fine.
No, I can't remember much about it.
And do you think that the history you were taught was helped you to feel proud of being British in any way? Was there a kind of patriotic slant to it at all?
Not really, no. Because, you see, we were all proud of being British, because we were all living through the war and just after the war.
Mm.
So there was that feeling of pride in being British throughout your whole life, you know, in your everyday life, you know, all the newspapers were showing, you know, you know, we've advanced and so on and so forth, you know. And I mean, I knew we were going to win the war. I mean, there was no question about, you know, even though I was five or six, I knew we were going to win the war. I'd have been disappointed if we hadn't, wouldn't I?
Yeah, well, life would have been different.
Yes, I'd have been talking to you in German now.
And have you done any history since you left school at all? I mean, you know, some people do family history or TV, or, you know, watch TV programmes. Yeah,
well,
there's a million different
things. Well, to go down your list, if you don't, I didn't do the family history. Because I've spoken to people who are doing it and they say, oh, it takes over your life and that. Now, I'd love somebody else to do it for me. Yes. You know, I'd like to know about it. I really would. But I just can't find the time or the enthusiasm, I'm afraid, you know.
No, well, there's no afraid. It's just interesting to know what people do.
I'd love to. I wanted somebody else to do it for me.
Yes.
And the tracing the history of your house, well, I mean, this house is brand new. The house we had before was built in the 1930s, and I got the deeds. So that was quite interesting. Mm-hmm. And looking at the plans and that, with the suburban railway used to run just across the road and so forth. So that was quite interesting. But it wasn't really old. And that, and the house before that was, again, 1930s and so forth. So now I've never been in a position living somewhere that's really old.
Yeah.
And that. But the National Trust, I'm a member of both the National Trust and the English Heritage. And I love to go to various places. I'm particularly interested in castles.
Oh, right.
I love castles. Then my next one down is churches.
Right.
But I keep a list of how many castles I've been to, and up to now it's 92.
Fantastic.
See, so yeah. I like that.
Just in England, or?
No, Scotland and Wales.
Right.
One or two in the Channel Islands, Guernsey and Jersey, and we went to one castle in Spain. We were near there, so went to this castle in Spain. It was very dilapidated, so we went in like a back way, and when we walked out the front way, there was this notice saying no admittance. But we were all right. But yes, just come back actually from a holiday in Swansea, and I did seven castles in 4 days.
Fantastic.
Yeah, reading books about history. Well, I do that all the time. I've got loads of books in my bookshelf. Of history. I've got a lot about Nottingham history. I'm very keen on Nottingham history.
Oh, right.
I do enjoy that. In fact, I'm a member of the Nottingham Civic Society.
Oh, okay.
And that Civic Society is, the idea is that it tries to safeguard the historical relevance of Nottingham and the old buildings and so forth, and tries to keep various scar lines intact, you know, not too many high-rise buildings. See, in Nottingham Square, we've got the council house with a big dome, a bit like St Paul's, and that, and the Civic Society is saying we don't want it to be overshadowed by too many skyscrapers. A bit of a losing battle, but, you know, we'd do that. And in fact, with the Civic Society, for many years, I did guided tours around the city, and for the members of the public in the evenings. Yes, I was in charge of doing the walks.
Oh, great!
I only gave it up when my wife became ill. So I enjoy doing that. And watching TV programs about history. Yes, I watch those all the time. Yes,
right.
Yes. Time Team, they're good. I haven't joined a local history society because I haven't really found one that exists in Nottingham. I don't know whether one exists.
Well, it sounds as though the Civic Society is
the
kind
civics,
of
yes,
about
that
history,
sort of thing,
really.
Yes.
Yeah, so
yes.
It's,
And I've never taken part in an archaeological dig, and I've never been interested in a history degree.
Well, it's just ideas.
Yeah, so oh yes, that's right, yes.
You've obviously done quite a lot of those, actually.
Yes.
And do you think that the history from school has kind of encouraged you or helped you in being interested in the local history that you're obviously interested in, or do you think you were interested in it anyway?
I think I was interested in it anyway, yes. Yes. I think certainly the history I was taught at the grammar school would be enough to put anybody off history, you know. It's anyway, if that's history, I don't want to know about it. Mm. Yes, yeah.
And is there anything else that you think you would like to say about your history teaching, or do you think we've covered it all?
I think so. There was one amusing story. I'll just tell you this. Don't know whether you're interested. The textbooks that we had at the grammar school there wasn't any pictures in. It was all writing, you know. And I read through them, and at the end of the book or the section, there was a little bit about the Vicar of Bray.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Vicar of Bray, and the song.
Yeah, it changes.
That he's going to be Vicar of Bray through all the rule changes rule. And I knew the song. I can't remember how I knew it, but I knew the song. I mean, I could sing it now. Well, if I could remember all the words. Anyway, our history teacher did a little test on what we'd learned. And one of the questions was, what's the name of the man at the end of the book? You see, and I was the only one who knew it was the Vicar of Bray. Nobody else had read that far. So, you know, we're all the same. We weren't that very happy with the curriculum.
I'm not sure I did ask you much about the textbooks at the grammar school. You can't remember any of the titles, can you?
No.
Or the authors?
No.
But
no.
You always had a textbook as well as the chalk and talk?
Yes, yes.
Right.
Yes, we always had a textbook, yes.
And did you have to make notes from those?
Oh, yes. Yes, we had to make notes and that. And we had homework and that, yes.
Right. And that would be, what, essays and things? Or what did you...
I would imagine so, yes. Yes, I can't remember a great deal about it because, you know, if you didn't find it that interesting, you kind of blot it out of your mind, don't you?
You do. Well, thank you very much. It's all been very interesting, Ovid. That's been great. So, many thanks.